Well, this is the first day of February 2022 from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California. Welcome to my webcast, my website, my office, my home, my life. Does that sound like arrogance to you? No. It's blessed assurity. And every individual under the sound of my voice that can hear this can have that same type of confidence in their own lives if they continuously put forth these laws that I'm going to present to you. I was supposed to present this lecture on my birthday. I hope that I'm still able to do so. But I had to send in a copy of my lecture to the organization, and they were talking about editing it. Let me say this right now, and I'll probably tell them. When you ask someone to bring a lecture towards something that can solve every problem, especially in a young black man's life, you should never question that elder who has been successful on every hand with young black men wherever I go. So I thought that I would place my lecture up on my website and so that you can hear it first. Because I don't plan on altering it. Kind of like reminds me of the movie Amadeus. It was the biographical movie of the life of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. And one musician started to remove the music from a portfolio that Mozart's wife had given him. He says, no, we have to take this out, take this score out and everything. And when Mozart was rehearsing the score, he said, no, you don't understand. If I play my music and this part that you just threw out is out, the music is no longer the genius's piece of art. When my friend Greg said, we'll edit your outline and what we don't like, we will give you our revised copy. It would be totally impossible for any professor of philosophy to teach on a philosophical mandate that is absolute with someone else's mind. It would be, my article was entitled The Five Laws of Non-Negotiability. And if I had it any other way, that would be negotiating. So I thought that I'd put up my five laws on my website in order for you to look at, maybe even while I give it, or just I'll have it attached and have it in the commentary section where you can go and listen to me at the same time look at the outline that they said that they were going to change. It would be impossible for me to bring it. See, I belong to an organization of gay men. And when I joined the organization a while back, I kind of like settled in. When I was pastor in the church and I was in the church, that's what I'd do. Before I would affirm any pastor and anything, I would go by that pastor's church and listen to him speak, preach, analyze him. Then I'd come on live radio and do a point-by-point exegetical definition of where he was out of his mind or whether it was truly biblical. And in this outline that I'm going to present to you, I didn't have one Bible verse. I put it together in my mind. But if you look at it, it is strictly that which happens in the life of a person that trusts God over themselves. I get the point. You have to trust God more than you trust yourself. Now, that's hard for Americans to do because we're an arrogant group of individuals, and we don't want to see God that way. We're competing, as it is, with God. We're competing with the nature of God, with what God does. And in so doing it, we kind of like try to psychologically tweak ourselves and let us know that we are as God is. Now, that's where you got to be very careful, because that's blasphemous. I know that I am a human being made of flesh and bone. I know that I'm also a spirit. Therefore, I am a... my CD just stopped. I am a dichotomous creature. I am totally physical, and I am totally spiritual. Now, since I am that, I have the capability to be the best if I'm healthy in my mind. I have the capability of being the best human being than I could be. I could be no better than my best. And if I practice these five laws of non-negotiation that I've learned how to live since my being booted out of the institutionalized church, I know how to survive, still appear to be very strong, physically to be very wit, mentally very sharp, and apt on my feet in any conversation. You put me in a fight with a brother, he can knock me out with one slap. I am not a fighter. I don't go around doing that. But at the very same time, I am an individual that knows how to fight with words. I'll put it that way. Let me get some fresh water here. I see I'm going to need it during this hour. Indeed, I am. Because I'm talking about some very serious subject matter here. I would like to put forth this premise as I start off this hour, that if these laws that I'm about to share with you are kept, that they can procure success in every area of your personal life. I am giving you my words from my lecture that I put together to put on at a meeting where the associates at the meeting said, we will look at your words and we'll let you know whether we will allow you to say that. Now, if that's not control, I have never heard of anything so ridiculous in my life, especially coming from an educated black man. You would never embarrass yourself by doing that. Now, some of the people I've heard speak there with no education, they can speak very freely and say some frivolous things that has no intellectual appeal to my mind at all, such as find something ugly in you and throw it out, and it's gone forever. Really. Well, and so, you know, what I'm doing, oh, and let me close my windows because the sun is going down. It's about 5:41, and so it stays lighter a little bit longer here. But let me close my blinds because people are walking down the street looking right into the studio. Hold on. And I want you to stick around because this is going to be a lecture that can bless you for many days coming your way down the pike. I want you to use these five laws as I give them to you. And as you use these laws in your life, not only in your professional and personal and your social standings, for as long as you live. In other words, I'm going to give you these five laws of non-negotiability, and for the rest of your life, if you implement these in your life, you will be successful. I don't know why anyone would not want me to bring a lecture like this. And I'm not one of those self-help people, you know, going around here talking about, you know, I don't do that. Not only will it help you in your life and those within your culture, but it'll also, if you adapt these laws to your lives, encourage others to incorporate these same laws into their daily experiences. Therefore, if your world gets better, their world gets better because you're sharing all of this fruit with them, absolutely free. And as I never charged to do lectures when I was in the church, I don't charge to give my lectures here. And every young man that stayed with me in my home when I kept him, all of them are doing well, very well. None of them are failures. Unlike that crackpot that tried to put out some stuff on me. They're always trying to put out stuff on me. But I know why people do that, because they ain't got no stuff in them. And I'm not talking about this organization in the meantime. It's a fine group of men. I love every one of them. I hope they don't change my lecture, because if they do, I'll have to decline from giving it. And you understand that. It wouldn't be me. I'd be saying what they don't know how to survive. I even told the leader of the group, I'll never forget, I was at a meeting one day there at the organization. And it was some good conversation going around the room. That was before COVID came out. And one guy personally, verbally attacked the leader of the group. And he pointed out during his tirade that he was a communist. Because I was wondering what this was all about. And I said to myself, oh, because that's what communists do. Communists will come into a meeting that they disagree with, and they will disrupt the meeting by saying something. And if you don't know the methodologies of a communist, you're going to find yourself arguing with them and almost fighting with them, which almost took place. And I had to go up to one of the men in the organization and tell them they were communists. You don't get into debates with them. See, that's what started the mess in Germany over there in Europe, when Hitler had his Nazis running around, and it was the communists agitating everything, and that's why the Nazis hated the Russians so much, because it's free-thinking ideas to do away with one's idealism. I have always been a libertarian, free. Even when I was a Christian pastor, I didn't follow the traditions of the normative Christian pastors because I knew them, most of them, to be liars. They would always have the meeting or something set up to make them look good. I'll give you an example. Here comes the first lady. Everybody stand up. Can you believe that? Oh, here's the pastor. He should have the better cut of meat. Is that right? Oh, there's the pastor's children. Oh, well, listen, give that gift to them, but give that raggedy one to Deacon Smith's son. Oh, don't tell me about the church. I know about the church. The fortunate thing is that the church that I pastored, I didn't run it like that. There were no big I's and little U's. I would teach all of the men and women, if they wanted it, theology proper in the church that I pastored, in private lessons in my home, at no cost to them, because they were already putting money in the offering basket. Why should I ask for anything more? After a while, the congregation knew just as much as I knew. I remember one deacon told me, "Oh, no, you don't want to do that, because if they know just as much as you, they'll try to take over. What? This is God's thing. Take over what? They can have it." I used to pastor church people, and, you know, I had a lot of young men under me. A lot of them wanted to be ministers. They loved the opportunity to stand behind the lectern to speak. "Pastor John is going to let me speak." And I never did understand why would they want to do that. I'll never forget when God called me to preach. I told him flat out, I don't want to stand up in front of them people and tell them, because they're not going to believe anything. They don't even know what they're there for. And then I dropped my head and started crying and said, "I'll do it, Lord." And when I look at the church today, it is messed up. The new young pastors of the church, they, let me stick to this. Something else I want to share this with you. In other words, if one undertakes the keeping of these five laws that I'm going to give you, success will be the outcome of most of their endeavors. I said most of them because the endeavors that don't work, you'd have to look into the deep, heartfelt consciences of the person attempting to use the laws and see if they're using them in the right way. Because if it is not for the praise of God's glory, that is what I was going to put in the lecture, though I did not have it written down on the paper. If it is not into the praise of God's glory, nothing will happen in your life that will end up to have it be a lifelong success. You know, I'll give you a good example. I had this clip to my website and on my Facebook page, this tribute to Sidney Poitier from the armed forces of the country that his parents came from in the Caribbean islands. And I said in the clip, "I wish that after I die, someone would think of me so fondly and remember what I was trying to do for humanity." But you tell me you're going to edit what I'm going to say? I can't help nobody if it's edited. See, this is America. I was raised to believe that in this country, you could speak, and we have been so maneuvered and facilitated and moved by social media. I was speaking with my niece yesterday. She came by to visit me, my sister's daughter. And I was asking her why her generation, she's in her 30s, why her generation was of such. And she said, "Uncle John, you have to remember, your sister is my mother. I was raised like you guys was raised." She said, "My peers and those younger weren't raised like that." I know, because I just got off the phone with another buddy of mine named Eddie, and Eddie told me the same thing. "You were raised the way I was raised, John. We were raised to go get a job, go to work, shut up, clean up the room, do what you're told to do. Don't question somebody that is authoritative over you. And shut up and work hard and make your life go." No, you can't talk to them like that now. But the laws of non-negotiability only work when you're working within a system of God righteousness, not of self-righteousness. See, there's two kinds of righteousness. There's a self-righteousness. And that's another reason why I bailed out of the church, because the church had all this self-righteous, "Oh, God, give me this, give me that. Look what God gave me. God gave me all this. God gave me all that." Ain't I something? Look at me. Do you know who I am? Do you know who you're looking at? Well, that's not God. We know that. We know that's not God. But what can I say? Then I wrote in the second, oh, no, let me stop this. Don't let that mess with you. That's just interference. Somebody trying to sell me something I don't want. Now, there are rules that are essential in the keeping of these five laws. As I take time and discuss it with you tonight, these laws will not necessarily have a positive effect on you or anyone else unless you are willing to address these principles with the truthfulness of an inner spirit. In other words, if you do not allow yourself to spiritually be carried along as you listen to this lecture, nothing will happen. You will be thinking about how to defeat what I'm saying. You see, that's the way I've always presented a lecture. I have to put my defense up in case you just try to make an offensive run on me to shut me off before I finish saying what is important for me to say. You see, and that's what people do in this generation today. They want to shut you down or finish you speaking before you even start speaking. And so that they can keep you on a subservient level. They can't do it if you have a good brain. They can't do it. That's why what the communists did, they just lined them up against a wall and shot them and killed them all in Russia. And like in Cambodia and in China when Mao took over. Do you know how many people were murdered to establish the government of communism in those countries? They murdered the intellectuals, the college professors, the old seers of the team. They got rid of them. They massacred them. Why? Because they thought on a different level. You remember that movie that came out years ago about these children with the, you know, they were fighting to get desserts and war games, dessert games or whatever it was. Well, we have about come to that point. I rented a movie from Netflix to see it, and the movie was made in the 1940s. Because if I want to see a classic film, I'll order one that's made in the 40s. The only classic films that they make today worth watching will be the James Bond ones because of the tricks that they have in it. You know it's going to be a movie full of tricks. But in the older movies, you had to think through it. I remember one of my students at Harvard College told me, "Oh, Mr. Coleman, why do you keep showing us these black and white movies?" And I used to tell them, "I show you the black and white movies because the color ones have no motive to it. The screenplay is shot. It takes a retarded child on crack to write a movie these days. And you got to have language in the sewer, and your actors and actresses are too busy bouncing or flopping their booties around that there's, you know, you lose the whole sense of the plot." So that's why I watch older movies. I'm trying to stimulate my mind, not my libido. Though I like a nice libido stimulation from time to time. Don't get it twisted. Now, let me continue to go at this. Let me give it the first law. I know what life is. The first law of non-negotiation is you have to know what life is. Now, I'm speaking of my own personal life experience as an adult. I didn't say I know what life was when I was 12 years old. Because I didn't know enough about life at 12 years old. I know some young men at 19 and 20 years old. They don't know what life is. Have you ever had a conversation with this younger generation? And you're, you know, and Then you make a statement like, well, the ambiguity of that whole situation is, and then the youngster reaches and picks up his phone and talks into Google or Siri and says, what is ambiguity? And then ambiguity is when things are said in a different form. And man, that happened to me when I was talking with one of them, and I said, is that what it's all about? Well, I didn't know what you was talking about. I said, so you go to the Google. What if they shut off the damn electricity and you didn't have no damn Google? You couldn't follow what I was saying. Would you have asked me what the term meant? So they pretend they're smart. And I'm telling you, you let them cut off the power. And we're about ready to experience, because I see what God seems to be doing to America. I hear we got a cold storm coming in next week that's going to be colder than anything that hit this northern hemisphere in this century. Now, if that's not God trying to tell us something, I don't know what is. Everybody's talking about stockpiling, buying guns and bullets and stuff like that. Oh, that's all right. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Now, my needs at that time may be a half rotten potato. If he provides it, I'll eat it and say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of my God. That's the way I was raised. These youngsters are not raised like that. God wouldn't give you anything but good. Right, eat that half of a rotten potato and thank him for it. Yeah, all right. So I know what life is. You see, you got to know. Not as a child. You aren't thinking as a child. Not as one who always goes to other people in order to seek advice on the matters of their conscience, because God gives each of us a thing in us called a conscience. And that thing been working ever since we've been living. All human beings have a conscience. That's why we don't go around killing babies, do we? Or do we? You see? I can kill it, it's my right to do it, it's a part of my body. Really? Is that right? So you don't believe that a human being is a divinely ordained creature. If you just look at the human body, you know there's something unique about us, far different from the other creatures on the planet. If you just look at the human body, you know that we are beyond a frog or a toad or a snail. That we are fearfully, as the Bible says, and wonderfully made. And how are we made? God created the male and female. Male and female created he them. Now we have another species, and then another one, and then another one. It's no wonder the straights are getting all knocked off base from the gays. Because the gays say now there's 20 versions of us. Next week, will there be 40? And are you going to affirm it? What are you going to do? Affirm everything until your affirmation button stops working? It doesn't work after a couple of mishaps. I was having a conversation with a gay man over the phone today. And we were talking about how things are so crazy in our world. And I said, man, here's a problem. Okay, here you are a dude, and you identify as a female, right? And so you go in, you dressed up like a female, got a wig on and everything, and you got to piss. You got to take, you know, get rid of some human urine. Now, you standing up in your toilet booth in the female bathroom, and all of a sudden, bub, they hear this thing like, is that a man over there? And somebody said, is there a man here? And then this feminine voice comes back. Oh, I'm not a man, I'm a woman. Yeah, but it sounds like you did. What are you doing? Don't you worry. And then when the human comes out, All the ladies sees that it was a man and that his penis was exposed in the women's room, taken a leak. And they should be outraged, because their privacy has been abridged by a man. So I see the confusion that it causes in a lot of people. It'll make people go crazy on the airplane and start fighting. It will. And for you to, like I said, know what life is. If you don't know what life is, you're going to walk around here talking and doing things, and you may find your face getting up out of the sand. See, that's where my lectures sound. Know what life is. When this happens, under every circumstance in your life, you control the outcome because you know what life is. You know what's going to happen to you if you do that. Don't be going in there doing something that may appear to be not irregular to you in somebody else's face and then think that they're going to try to let you get away with it. But that's what America's come to. We've come down to, well, nothing is right. There are no moral absolutes. All of us were wrong. So we, you know what? I remember they used to tell me that Columbus discovered America. There's a certain commercial that they've been playing through the whole of the football season. It's a commercial where they got a movie star playing like he's walking through the aisles of time, and he spoke about Christopher in front of this boat that was supposed to discover America and the way he biscayed Christopher. And then they showed the Wright brothers flying a plane and then some guys climbing an ice glacier mountain, and then the spaceman, and then showed the contour of Mars, saying, we gonna walk on Mars and we gonna conquer that too. That's the arrogance of man. The arrogance of man. Now, from what I understand about that red planet, that's what they call it, you don't want to go there. And those planets are there for a reason. Just like that moon is up there for a reason. You know, they got the latest things that came out said that on the other side of the moon, that people are saying that there's some activities going on the dark side of the moon. We don't see, because we only see the light side. I don't want to know what they're doing. And quiet is kept, you don't either. Let's go to point number two. I said point number one, I know what life is. Point number two, I know what gives me life. I know what gives me life. Now, what I mean by that, I've researched me through and through. I don't need to discover nothing new about me. I'm a grown man. I know me through and through. Every bit of me I know. There has been no rock overturned about me that I've not covered fully in a diagnostic manner. I know who the hell I am and why I am, where I am, what I am. I know that. See, if you don't know what life is, well, then you don't know what gives me life. That's why you're going to try to suggest to me what gives me life. And I say, oh, no, that doesn't give me life. I know what gives me life, and I only pursue that which gives me life. I don't pursue that which gives you life, because what gives you life doesn't necessarily give me life. And I have the right to exercise my individual freedom. Get this, America. That's why I love the flag in that way. See, I know when they wrote those words and all that stuff. I was watching the playoff games and when they were singing the national anthem. And I listened to the words of the song. And I followed along and I say, yep, I still feel it. I still feel it whenever I hear it sung, because here I was able to think free and independent. Now, I know that Aubrey boy was shot and murdered by those two white racists. I don't decry that. I know that that takes place in this country. But it's not going to stop me from thinking on the level that I'm thinking on. I know what gives me life. I will take advice from people, but not from those things that have already been tried by me alone. See, I'll listen to your suggestions. Come on, talk to me. Talk to me. Tell me what you think. I went through that 35 years ago, man. What do you mean? Let me tell you a story. See, that's what I do with these young men. Oh, I don't even know who this is. Oh. It's my daughter, and I'm going to ask her right now. It's my daughter. I'm doing a webcast. Can I call you back?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll call you back right after the webcast. All right, bye. Bye-bye. Yeah, that's my daughter. See, I didn't want to break into this. And see, my children, they call me. They still have conversations with their daddy all the time. All the time. And guess what? They used to tell me when they start going to college, that was my oldest daughter. She would tell me, Daddy, you can't do that. You can't make the, they, them people don't want to hear that. Then I told her, they need to get out of my face, because I'm not going to tell them what they think they need to hear. I'm going to tell them what they need to hear. That's the way my mama and my grandpapa and all of them told me. That's the way the educators told me. We didn't guess with that. Uh-uh. But see, they're guessing now. What is this? Oh, see, people always dinging my bells and sending me messages and people selling things. Oh. All right, let me continue to go because I'm running out of time. Let me give you the other laws. Then you can. Law number three is this. All right. Remember law number two. I know what gives me life. You can't tell me what gives me life. And then if you try to tell me what gives me life and I try it and it don't, what am I supposed to do? Act like it did? No, I'm going to tell you that mess don't work with me, because I'm living under a frame of reference that has guaranteed my success. You trying to find yours. See, and that's what happens when you play God. I don't play God. I don't need to be God. My friend Wayne, he talked to me, and now he's a life coach. I said, oh, man, whatever that is. And he said, well, you're a life coach, John. I said, well, I never thought of it that way. I didn't know that I was coaching anybody in life. I wasn't coaching you. I just tell you what I did, and I've been successful. And let me brag a little bit. I've never been unemployed where I've never had enough money to eat. I've always had a roof over my head. I've never been homeless. Lord willing, next week, I'll be 78. I've never been to jail but once in Korea. That was a military stockade for insubordination to a non-commissioned officer. But I've never been in a civilian jail of any municipality. Never been fingerprinted, not on their records. I've never taken the life of any human being, baby, adult. I have never treated any human being beneath the level that they should be treated. Oh, I've turned some away. I've refused to have relations with others, but I've never harmed them or treated them bad or called them scandalous names behind their backs, ever. If there's a reason for God to send someone like me to hell, I need someone to tell me what the reason is, because I can't think of anything, and I never blaspheme God, ever. I'm too afraid of that, because if you blaspheme God, I feel sorry for you because you never get over it. See, he will let you know who God is. That's why I tell these ministers that's playing with God, don't play with me. Because I've never played with God like that. I'd hate to be some of these ministers that die these days, that trick people out of their money, that lie to them about the scriptures, that deceive the masses and so that they could be rich. Oh, yes. Law number three. I know what to me is not life. See, there's not a trial nor error. This isn't a trial nor error thing here. Only I know this. I keep in my mind that whatever may be life to you is not necessarily life to me. I keep that in my mind. I see you walking around successful, right? Mm-hmm. Makes me think of this thing. Saw on the news this week, Chris Brown, the R&B singer, the last week of January, another young lady then brought a rape charge against him. He drugged me, and then he raped me while I was here, and she's trying to sue him for millions of dollars. Why am I concerned about that? What was she doing with somebody like that? She knew it. He is before she got with him. See, you can't use these laws like this. Uh-uh. You can't do it. I know what to me is not life. Some man accused me of, always has a young, large following because he seduces the men that he picks up. That's a lie. I ain't no trampy whore. If I want somebody, I can pay for it. I ask for it. I don't have to trick them like that. But this guy recently went on one of my things on YouTube and wrote that down in the notes section. I just wrote him back and said, I don't do that. But people that are like that, karma comes back. See, I believe in karma. When you do that, that mess come back and get you. Either we are living to help other people become better human beings on this planet, or we are living to make sure that the system which codifies every human being on the planet, that's what the vaccinations were all about. And that's why a lot of people are fighting the vaccinations. They didn't want to be codified. I didn't mind it because I can be codified with the system, but I know on whom I believe. See, just because I had my two shots and my booster doesn't mean that I'm taking the mark of the beast. Because you know what the mark of the beast is? Death. See, death is coming to me naturally. And when it comes, I'm not going to fight that. So, know what doesn't give you life. What gives you life don't give me life. Therefore, I remain on guard against the queries that cause me to doubt my already successful life journey. I'm already successful. So what am I doing listening to people question my success by opposing something that isn't necessarily a successful tactic for me to follow? You get it? With these non-negotiable laws here, you will stay on the beaten path that you belong on. I remember once I went to a meeting here recently, and in the meeting somebody said, you need to explore where you want to be, where you dream and where you want to be. And I told the person that said that, I don't have dreams to be where I want to be. I am where I want to be right now. I am here. I said, what is it that I'm looking for? And you know why I take that attitude? Because the Bible says, be you content with the things such as you have. Now, if you want to know how that works in reverse, that's when evil tried to get into the mind of Jesus and said, jump off this mountain. You won't be hurt because you say you're the Son of God. Call his angels so that they will lift you up like that and you won't dash your foot against a stone. That's what the wicked Satan man said to Jesus' mind. You know what Jesus said to him? Get thee behind me, Satan. He was saying, you need to get behind me. I'm not going to let you mess up the journey that God my Father has given me to give to these people. That's why, you know what? I'm still preaching on my website, preaching in any organization. But you got to sneak in and get in now because, see, these people, man, woo, man, these people, hey, man, don't let nobody mess up your thing. No, wait a minute. You better make sure. And then I say stop calling on God if you're not going to follow hard after him. That should be an easy thing. Now, the point of point number three is that one must be careful in this area where new relationships are involved. Because when you get for the first time with new people that you've never been around, you have a tendency to fall into listening to what they're saying. And if you've never heard it before, you end up saying, well, maybe that'll work. You cannot do that to yourself. You can't do it. Point number four, I know the danger of experiencing which does not produce life. In other words, I know what having an experience is that feels good to me, that makes me look good, but that doesn't produce life all the time. In other words, if you can't define it, you can't defend it. Try to define your life without having an experience that makes your life definable as a good one. A good example. This is the way this works. Somebody calls you and he says, John, good morning. You say, good morning to you too. How are you doing today? I'm doing great. Oh, come on, John. You're not really doing great. You asked me how I was doing, right? Yes. And I know that you have cancer and it's eating you up and the pain is killing you. How can you say you're doing great? Well, because I've learned what the Apostle Paul wrote in the epistles. He says, whatsoever state I find myself in, I'm therewith content. So even though I'm hurting, even though I may be hungry, even though I may be homeless, friendless, I'm doing great because I'm alive and I understand my life and I have control over the way I feel. I don't need to. You see, you have a place to live. You have a car. You have insurance. You have all those amenities in life. I don't. I'm doing great. Now, the question is, how are you? And then at that time, you will hear, click, click. They will hang up because they could not control you with the verbiage of negotiability. See, when they can get you to negotiate that you want, let's redo that scenario. So how you feel? Oh, man, this cancer's killing me, man. Oh, my God, I wish I was dead. Oh, if God was really a God, he'd help me from this. No. See, that's not me. And when you follow the five laws of non-negotiability, you learn how to live beyond that. The experience may feel great for the moment that you're having. 10 hours later, has it damaged you? That's the key. If the experience does not work towards lasting personal advancement, chalk it up as a bad act and rid yourself of that mess. That's how you know you're headed in the right direction at all times. Let's come down to the fifth and last point of these five laws of non-negotiability. Because if you use these laws, you will always come out successful. Law number five is refuse to suffer with the slumbering mental capacity. In other words, remain spiritually, mentally, physically awake. Remain in a state of knowing consciously where you are at all times. If you go out to an eating restaurant or a club, where you left the car, how far you are from it, do you have enough money to get you home without going home in the same car that you came in? What if the wrong crowd is there and you've changed your mind after you get there and you're riding with someone? Did you make provision to protect you? Do you have a Lyft, an Uber, a phone paid up, charged up? Or are you always asking somebody to use their charger? You see, that means you're walking around like a child, not thinking about things. And if you don't have those particular amenities to help you get along, well, you are sleeping on the job. In other words, one negotiates if they refuse to think through every premise presented from outside of their sphere of truth. You see, if you're living in a truth zone, you know what truth always looks, sounds, feels, tastes, and appears like to you. You are not in a hybrid kind of a mental state of mind. Well, I thought I had it, but I didn't have it. No, you're thinking like a child. You see, you may think you need a life coach. You don't need no life coach. You need life to coach you. And what you learn from the coaching of that life that coaches you, you remember that because that is a situation that will remain that way for the rest of your ever-loving life. There are lessons that you learn today that you will carry with you for the next 50 or 60 years. I remember I talked to my good friend Wayne Moody, and Wayne Moody said, John, you are what you think. And I understand what he means by that. The great philosophers of old during the Renaissance used to make statements like that. When I studied ethics and taught it in college, I went through all that. So I know what he's talking about. But you know what? If I tell you I got a headache, I got it. And very rarely do I get headaches. If I tell you I'm feeling something that I've never felt before in me, I'm feeling it. I'm not speaking that into existence. I am mouthing the existence that lets me know through my nerve endings, you see. And so I don't need a life coach. I need life to coach me. And then I take lessons from what life coaches me with, and then from there I choose how I'm going to be successful as I navigate through safe zones. I don't sleep. One slumbers and one becomes confused by virtue of who presents the premise. In other words, you're slumbering because, well, I'm your mama and I'm telling you, you're going to do it this way. Well, you should have said, gee, I wish Father was here so that he could give me some advice. Oh, I hate that bum. Don't bring up his name in this house lest I hit you upside your head. Now, that's all you got in your head, boy. What these laws teach you how to do is to live without your mother's influence, without hearing that voice in the back of your head. Never fall asleep while on life's journey. Because once you fall asleep and start slumbering and start listening to other people, that's your fault. And you need to own up to it and stop trying to blame God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, you did that because you refused to take responsibility and ownership for being an adult black man on this planet. I know our ancestors was brought over here as objects of slavery, picking cotton and sugar cane and rice and beets, barley, and everything else. I know about the ancestors. I know about Martin Luther King. I know about CORE, Congress of Racial Equality. I remember all of those historic mandates. Now they're thinking about making the first African-American female Supreme Court justice. What good is it going to do? She's going to be lying with the rest of them. She's going to follow suit with the rest of them. Because I'm just going to say it, and I'm going to say it because I'm going to give God the glory. Anybody that's on the Supreme Court that denies the living Almighty God, I don't care whether they're black, turquoise, pink, blue, or yellow, or whatever. I'm not listening to them. Putting a woman on the Supreme Court, you're supposed to put the best qualified up there. And I'm not saying that a black woman's not qualified, but my goodness, man. All those brilliant women in the world, why couldn't he nominate a black man? All right. 4 minutes left. That is the outline. And I was told today, after we review your outline, we may make some revisional changes to it, and we'll let you know tomorrow whether it's okay. I don't know whether they come to my website to listen to this, but I'm telling you right now, I don't need that platform to give a good lecture. I just gave it to you on my own platform. And the people that adhere to what I teach, their lives will be successful day after day after day in every way. And it's really embarrassing for persons that, and you know what? I'm going to have to say it. I never thought that I'd live long enough to see this. You know, I remember when Jesse Jackson, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, and the Reverend L. Sharpton, and you know what they were, you know, those guys used, you know, there's a term, they would threaten big companies if they didn't hire enough blacks and blackmail and all that kind of stuff. I've never been like that, and I've never cared for people like that. I never cared for people that gets ahead by stepping on the heads of other people. See, that's what happened to Whoopi Goldberg yesterday. She on that forum with all them Jews and them other ladies on there, and she said Nazism wasn't about race. See, you can get so much money living. She must have forgot that she's black. If Nazism wasn't about race, And of course, the people start knocking her off all these platforms and people start declining. See, because people lose their money. And she came back the next day and gave a full apology, didn't she? Oh, I wasn't looking at it this way. She was looking at it from her own philosophical view. She understood what the Nazis were trying to do. They were trying to do away with everything else but a mind like their own. So, in a sense, Whoopi was correct. But she didn't use the words correctly. And did you see how quick she switched up? Now you watch. Somebody's going to make the same mistake with this Tom Brady thing. Because he resigned and everybody's talking, right? All the athletes, this and that. Somebody going to say something. And it's going to trip the switch because they got this Brady guy looking like he's the Santa Claus of football. Well, that's a horse of another color. Thank you for coming to my website, and I hope these five laws of non-negotiability will keep you safe for the rest of your life, because if you get them under your cuff and live by these rules, you will win the day. This is PJ, retired Pastor John, in the Lucy Coleman studio, doing what he does beautifully, telling you like it T.I. is. Love you.